It was already difficult for many Americans to find a mental health counselor before the pandemic, and now it's even harder. There's a shortage of counselors to meet the rising demand to treat conditions like depression and anxiety. Almost a third of therapists are seeing more patients, according to a survey last fall by the American Psychological Association, and many are turning away patients because they're booked up. Tamara Farabee is seeing these challenges firsthand. She's Executive Director of Human Services Administration at the National Association of Black Counselors. She's also a licensed professional counselor in Chester, Virginia. Tamara, welcome.
Hi, how are you? I'm glad to be here.
I'm glad to have you, and I'm wondering how you would describe the current need for mental health counselors overall in this country, and how are therapists trying to meet that need right now?
Overall, I would describe it as being critical. Going to virtual was difficult. Working with the insurance companies during this time has been confusing and difficult. And having patients that are constantly calling, constantly trying to get on your caseload. Your caseload is about typically for a full-time counselor, about 25 patients a week. And I mean, I know that many of my colleagues are exceeding that. We are inundated right now. We can't even keep up with the phone calls to the office. And so we are, you know, actively reaching out and trying to find out who has openings, when, and it's pretty rough out here right now.
And Tamara, are you and your fellow Black therapists feeling the squeeze even more so? Because we know that before the pandemic began, there were already disproportionately fewer Black counselors to go around.
Yes, I really think that finding a Black therapist is particularly difficult when you come out of the South and when you come out of urban areas. So, yes, all of us are feeling the squeeze. All of us are inundated. It's been a very challenging time.
And to the extent you can, while respecting patient privacy, I would love to hear some of the stories about your patients. What are they coming to you with right now?
Many of my patients are having a difficult time with this transition period. So the bottom line is everything in life that they're doing in their life now has changed and has to be done differently. From parenting their kids to how their job is done, everything has changed. So what I'm seeing is a definite rise and increase in anxiety. I'm seeing people that are having more marital conflicts, more conflicts with their children, with their adult children coming home from college. You know, I'm having definitely more patients call me and they're in the middle of a mental health crisis at that moment. I'm having many patients call me and they're actively in panic attacks and experiencing all kinds of issues. Like I've had a couple of them, the ambulance had to come get them. Their panic attack was so bad. There's been an increase in the medication that they've had to take. So it's been challenging for a lot of people. A lot of people are really struggling right now.
That must be so alarming for you because I imagine that at baseline, your work is predominantly appointments. It's pre-scheduled. It's not that immediate emergency phone call, but you're getting more of those.
Yeah, it's different. It's definitely different. It's not surprising, though. I think I kind of expected it.
So, Tamara, I mean, these are some of the acute problems that you're seeing during the pandemic. I'm curious about what you foresee after the fact, because I know that some governing bodies have, to address the increased need, loosened some of the licensing requirements. But it's not clear that that's going to be a permanent change. And in ordinary times, there's a lot of hurdles to clear to become a therapist. So what does the pipeline look like?
Well, we do have a lot of challenges. I think coming into this COVID crisis, counselors, therapists, social workers, all of us, the COVID pandemic hit a mental health system that was already weak. So the mental health system in the country needs a lot more funding. It needs a lot more attention. We need a lot more mental health beds. We need a whole lot of things to shore up and strengthen the mental health system in this country. You know, they tend to want to bring counselors out when there is some sort of crisis, when there's been a mass killing and all of that thing. You know, you always hear, oh, we're bringing on the counselors now. But there's very little in terms of prevention and continual treatment. There are always issues. So we have a lot. The government is really going to have to respond and help states to make this a priority, especially now after COVID.
Tamara Farabee is Executive Director of Human Services Administration at the National Association of Black Counselors. She's also a licensed professional counselor in Chester, Virginia. Tamara, thank you.
You're welcome. Thank you so much.
Okay, so here's a sobering reality for young people in mental health. The National School Counselor Association recommends schools have one counselor for every 250 students, but many states do not meet this threshold. In Arizona, for example, on average, there's only one school counselor for every 900 students. Joining us now is Shiloh Wheeler, who is a school counselor for the Thatcher Unified School District in Thatcher, Arizona. And she's also a past chair of the Arizona School Counselors Association. Shiloh, I know your days are really busy, so thank you for being here.
Thank you very much for having me.
Your district is in a rural area about 2 hours southeast of Phoenix. It's K through 12. And there's only you and one other counselor to meet the needs of 1,700 students. How are you managing that load?
That's correct. I feel like my load's been cut in half. We just barely last year hired a second counselor. So for the first several years, I was by myself. But it's a lot to manage. It is putting out crisis after crisis, fire after fire. I would say our district's been fortunate because we are committed to the health and well-being, mental health, and social health of our students. So we have been one of the few schools in Arizona and probably throughout the country that have been in person this entire school year. But even being in person, we've seen increases in uncertainty. There seems to be an elevated level of stress. Kids have turned out towards the end of the semester are a little more apathetic, not really caring a lot about things that they used to really care about or things that used to be important to them. So it's still challenging for our students throughout the pandemic.
And I can imagine challenging for you because mm-hmm. you're helping them chart their course. You're there to help them have a successful school year.
Mm-hmm, definitely. And while we do have most of our kids in person, we still have a handful that are doing a remote learning, so they're not in person. And so trying to get these kids to be more motivated or more excited about a future that seems really uncertain to them is challenging.
There's also something else. You all were, as you said, you've been having in-person school all of this school year, but right after the pandemic, the students were sent home and school went virtual. What are some of the challenges that you also experienced helping them just navigate virtual school? Because I'm thinking back to my days in school. Counselors were there as a shoulder to go to cry on, but they also were there to kind of help you manage your classes and different types of challenges that you deal with throughout the day.
Exactly. When we closed, just like everybody else around the country, about this time last year, our schools closed for the rest of the year. And so making a quick shift to being a virtual counselor was difficult. You realize how much you rely on visual cues or friends that kind of give you a heads up of how their friends are doing. Students obviously are not excited about talking on the phone or they don't check their email. And so there are limited ways to reach out to students. So we had to try various methods, whether through Google Meets or through Zoom calls or through messages and surveys we'd send out to our students, trying to reach out to those kids to see how they were. But it was hard to really get a grasp on how students were doing. And even the students who you thought would be doing well or had lots of support at home, you know, after the first month, were telling me that they were really struggling. It was hard for them to be alone. They felt isolated. So we really did have a lot of students struggling while we weren't in school.
And we just heard from our previous guest who was talking with Callum about how adults are also dealing with anxiety and feeling really emotional and out of control. I mean, how can people in power, like school administrators and state leaders, help support you in your work to really maintain your students' emotional health?
Yeah, we are working super hard, especially within Arizona, to decrease our ratio, to make sure we have more school counselors within the schools so that they can support our students. And that support also reaches out and branches out to our parents as well as we work with families.
How can parents help you help their kids?
I think it's important that parents are aware of what's going on with their kids, checking in with their students a little bit more, especially in the older grades where they can hide it a little bit easier, or maybe it's normal when you're in virtual learning mode. Kids will spend a lot of time in their room. So it may seem normal, but they may not be okay. And I think just that partnership of parents feeling like they can reach out to the school counselors to have a conversation about what they're seeing or what concerns, or to talk about strategies or things that they'll be able to use to help their kids or to recognize warning signs for things that might be more serious.
Well, Shiloh, thank you so much for your work and talking with us.
Absolutely. It's my pleasure.
Shiloh Wheeler is a school counselor for the Thatcher Unified School District in Thatcher, Arizona. She's also a past chair of the Arizona School Counselors Association.